turned your Bibles now to Jonah chapter number 1, and we've been looking at this chapter. In this chapter, the title heading is Jonah's Running and God's Preparation. We're going to read the first 7 verses here in just a moment, but let me just say this. What a blessing it is to know this, that God is working in our lives. Aren't you glad for that? You know, oftentimes we get in situations where we think about this. How in the world is God working in and through this in my life? This book of the Bible, greater than any other, I believe, shows how God is working not only in our lives, but in the lives of others, and He's working in the lives of a nation, He's working in the world, all at the same time. And we see this in the life of Jonah. Let's begin reading in Jonah chapter number 1. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, Cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Notice verse number 7. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And look, lo and behold. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Well, we've seen that Jonah was commanded to go to Nineveh. Once he got there, he was to cry against it, for its wickedness was great, and to come up before the Lord. Now, Jonah, in receiving this instruction, the Bible tells us, fled from the presence of the Lord, resulting in this terrible chain of circumstances. By the way, let that be a lesson to you and I, that when we turn away from God and we go our own way, listen, don't be surprised when you find yourself in a chain of terrific circumstances in your life as well. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll look at this. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd learn some valuable lessons from the life of Jonah. As Jonah transparently records this book of the Bible under inspiration of the Holy Ghost for us, Father, help us to learn lessons from what is recorded here. Lord, help us for some that perhaps are walking away from the Lord to turn back to the Lord. For us that are following after Christ, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't get in a situation where we're fleeing, trying to flee from the Lord. Father, help us, Lord, to continue to see this example that you're working in our lives and bringing things together for good, Lord, in our lives to bring us unto yourselves. And Lord, I pray, Father, if there's one here this night that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, perhaps they would understand this. There's not a place you can go that you're hidden from God. Lord, I pray that there be one maybe tonight that trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, would you help us? Would you challenge us from thy word? We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. Well, in this second portion of the overall outline, we see that the prophet rose up to flee. When you look back at the outline, letter B, the prophet rose up to flee, verses 3-7. Would you notice that the prophet rose up to flee? Verse number 3, what it says here, it says, But Jonah rose up to flee. Notice this unusual phrase here, unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Now that's pretty interesting. The word that's translated in the text as presence signifies face. And so the Bible is basically saying this, that Jonah got up to flee from the Lord's face. In other words, to flee from God's eyes upon him. We might use the expression today, seeing someone eye to eye, or we might say seeing someone face to face. You and I even today think about communicating on our phone, and for some of you who have an iPhone, we have this thing called FaceTime where we can dial somebody else and we can see somebody else on the other side of the phone. It's pretty ingenious, the person who came up with that term, FaceTime. But this is the idea given concerning Jonah, that he's trying to flee from the face of God. And we see this expression in this, that Jonah breaks fellowship with the Lord. He gives up his station as a prophet, and he attempts to get away from communicating with the Lord. Now, notice something about this. You and I can learn about this. In verse number 3, the Bible tells us that Jonah, notice, he went down to Joppa. He went down to Joppa. Then notice this, in the same verse, the Bible says that he found a ship, he paid their fare thereof. And notice the phrase again, he went down into this ship, that is the ship. Now look with me in verse number 5. The Bible tells us in the second sentence, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. You know, the truth of the matter is when we turn away from the Lord and we flee from the presence of the Lord, perhaps we're in disobedience to the Lord. You know, the path that we're going is not upwards. It's not an upward ascent to glory, but really we're headed down, down, down. You see, Jonah went down into disobedience. That's the first thing. Jonah went down into disobedience. Look over in Jonah chapter number 2. I want you to see this as well. His descent downward continues. Verse number 2, chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, as he prayed, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Can you imagine it? Jonah went down to the bottoms of the mountains. That's pretty deep. I want you to see something else that's declared through the life of Jonah to you and I, that not only is the pathward down and away from God a path of disobedience to God in a downward direction, but notice another expression in verse number 3. The Bible says, but Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Notice what it says here. He paid the fare thereof. So number 2, if you're writing notes, number 1, Jonah went down into disobedience. Number 2, Jonah paid the price of disobedience. You know, this is true, my friend, that it cost Jonah much to disobey the Lord. And likewise, can I tell you by way of application for you and me tonight, it's the same for us, that it will cost us much to disobey the Lord. You know, Jonah may have just paid some temporal money. He may have bartered some goods to enter into this ship, but it would cost him more than just some coins. One very costly commodity that's become more apparent to me as I've gotten older is this matter of lost time. You know, Jonah's going to lose time here. And the older I get, the more precious I realize the time that the Lord has given to me. I can think back and understand there's been much time that I've lost in my life because of disobedience, or even because I have not been circumspect. In other words, paying attention to everything around me. In other words, we would say it this way, I have not stewarded my time properly. You know, Jonah would pay the price of time spent out of fellowship with the Lord. And so Jonah paid the price of disobedience. Jonah went down into disobedience. But then notice number 3 with me. The Bible says again that Jonah paid the price, the fare thereof. He went down into that ship, into it, to go. Now notice his phrase, with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, the fact of the matter is when you depart from the Lord, you're going to go to something. And we find here that Jonah went to them. He went down. He went to them. Who is the them in our text? Well, we discover this in this passage in verse number 5, that the them is the mariners. Now, I want you to just stop and think about the irony of this situation. Jonah came to the place where he wanted to depart from the Lord after God had asked him to get up and to go to this Gentile nation, the Assyrian royal city of Nineveh, and cry against it. And Jonah says, hey, I'm not going to go preach to some heathen city, the Assyrian nation. I'm not going to preach repentance to them. I'm not going to preach destruction to them. I'm just rather going to flee from the presence of the Lord because I don't want to be in the midst of those Gentiles. And yet we find here in Jonah's disobedience, in Jonah paying the price of it, that Jonah went to some Gentiles and fleeing from the Lord. We're not told exactly who these mariners are, but they certainly appear to be heathen men, for verses 5 through 10 tell us that they cry every man to his own God. Jonah's company was around heathen mariners. He was going the way of the world. He was lockstep with the men of the world. And friend, can I tell you, when you go into disobedience, when you turn away from God, when you're in conflict with the Word of God, guess what? You're going to be found walking with the world as well. Not only did Jonah go with them, not only did Jonah pay the price of disobedience, not only did Jonah go down into disobedience, but I want you to realize this, number four, if you're taking notes, Jonah's path to disobedience seemed to be open before him. Now, this is so vitally important for you and I to understand because many people say this, boy, if the door of opportunity opens up before me, then that just means that God wants me to step through it. And friend, can I tell you that many believe that if that door of providence opens before them, that it must be the will of God? I mean, think about the situation with Jonah. Here Jonah is fleeing from the Lord, and guess what? He just happens to find a boat that's headed the right direction he wanted to go. Imagine that. Jonah just happens to have the money at that time to be able to pay the fare price to get onto this boat. Jonah apparently encountered a situation where this boat was able to set sail because the weather was commodious for travel. You see, the mariners of that day knew very well certain times of year you would not travel on the seas because it's dangerous. Well, lo and behold, apparently, this period of time, it was commodious for them to travel. Number four, the mariners didn't bother questioning Jonah as to who he was and as to where he was going. Number five, think of this. Jonah took that faithful step onto the boat. You know, people take steps away from the Lord. They take a step away from God and nothing happens. They think, wow, I'm okay. They take another step away from God and they think, oh, nothing happened. I've obtained my purpose. I'm okay. You know, nothing happened to Jonah when he stepped on the boat. He wasn't struck by lightning. The ship didn't sink right there on the spot. Oh, nothing happened. It seemed to Jonah that the doors of opportunity, the doors of prophet, maybe God just forgot about what he told me. Maybe he'll allow me to continue in disobedience. Maybe I'm okay going down this path and God will just pick somebody else to go deliver this message to the Gentiles. Friend, let me ask the question, what's the problem with this kind of reasoning? You and I must think about this because we have choices to make every day of our lives. And what's the choice going to be? Are we going to live according to God in His ways? Are we going to walk the direction that God would have us to go? Or are we just going to look out and say, well, you know what? If that door opens up, I'm just going to walk right through it. You see, here's the problem with Jonah's choice. Jonah's choice was in conflict with God and His Word. Friend, can I tell you right off the bat, before you ever sit in front of the preacher and say, Pastor, I want to let you know that this is what's going on. I'm going to be taking this particular job, and it's going to keep me out of church on Sundays and on Wednesdays, but I believe it's God's will. Friend, can I tell you that God is not going to open up the door of providence for you to disobey His holy word? So often it is that people will come in and they'll say this, well, I think it's God's will. And you ask, how do you know it's God's will for you to go in this direction or to make this life-changing choice? And oftentimes you'll hear this, well, I just prayed about it and I feel like that's it. That's the sum total of it. Well, friend, let me ask you this. Have you gotten godly counsel? Let me ask you this. Have you seen God directing you through His word? Oh, amen, that you've prayed for it, and that's a wonderful thing. We ought to pray that God would direct us along His path, but let it not be separated from the tools that God has given us, which is His holy word. Listen, God has given you people that can give you wise and godly counsel. I think the preacher's a good place to go. I think folks that are walking with the Lord are good places to go. And by the way, let me just say this, that oftentimes we'll go to the people that we believe we'll get the right answer from. If we want to head into disobedience, oftentimes we'll seek out somebody we know, perhaps who's less spiritual than ourselves, perhaps who's not walking with the Lord either, and we'll say, hey, what do you think about this? Because we want to get that right answer. Friends, God's not going to ask you to be in conflict with His word. And so here we see Jonah. He thinks that his providence is good, that he can walk onto this ship and everything's going to be okay. Hey, he had the money to pay it. The ship was headed in the right direction. The weather was just right. The mariners didn't question me. And the boat's heading in the right place. And so he thought, boy, I'm okay. Notice what happens in verse number 4. The Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Do you notice in the narrative, there's a conjunctive word there that joins the narrative together. It's the word but. You know, Jonah made a choice to flee from the Lord, and the Lord made a choice to send out a great wind. The Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Remember in verse number 3, here's Jonah's choice, but Jonah rose up to flee. And by the way, can I tell you this, that God has given you liberty to make choices in this world. You have a free will and you can make choices, but understand this, God's going to make some choices as well, and it's going to be according to His word, and it's going to be according to His holiness, and it's going to be according to His judgment. And so we see God's hand upon this situation. Jonah's running. This is the title, Jonah's running, but what? God's preparation. You know, Jonah's not going to be rejoicing about this statement in our text, at least not at this point in his life. Oftentimes when folks come under the chastisement of the Lord, they're not rejoicing about the situation in their lives. But we notice later on down the road, as we see this transparent record that Jonah penned, that his tune has changed once he's turned back to the Lord. Jonah's not going to rejoice at this point, but you and I, as we look throughout the Word of God, ought to remind ourselves and rejoice for those simple words, but the Lord. Aren't you glad this evening that God doesn't allow you to just continue and run unabated into sin, away from the Lord indefinitely? The Bible tells us one of the most precious but statements concerning God in Romans 5:8. It says, but God commendeth or showed us His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad this evening that God interrupts our departures from Him? Aren't you glad that the Lord sometimes will send a tempest into your life to get your attention? You see, the text indicates for you and I that this tempest arose suddenly, just when Jonah perhaps felt as if he had obtained his purpose. We find this change of scene signified by the word but. You've probably heard it said before by others or even yourselves. When you're talking to someone who's departed from the Lord, they'll fold their arms up and they'll say, I can do what I want. And friends, can I tell you, you certainly do have liberty to do what you want. You have liberty to make a choice, but the result was not what he expected. The Bible doesn't indicate for us how far Jonah got on his journey away from the Lord, headed towards Tarshish. However, in verse number 13, read it with me. It says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." Friends, they must have been pretty far away from land, seeing that they could not get back to the land. Matthew Henry rightly said in commenting on this situation, "Sin brings storms and tempests into the soul. Sin brings storms and tempests into the family. Sin, by the way, brings storms and tempests into the churches. Sin brings storms and tempests into nations. It is disquieting. It is a disturbing thing." We'll see here in just a moment this very thing, how that disobedience has a terrifying effect not only on us, but on those around us as well. Notice the action and the result found in verse number 4. The Bible says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind." That's the action. Notice the result. "Therefore, there was a mighty tempest in the sea." There's the result. The action is by the Lord, and the result is of the Lord. I believe one of the most terrible results of our lack of biblical literacy is simply this: our marred understanding of the awesome power of our great God. You know, the truth of the matter is that we forget how powerful our great and merciful God truly is. I'm reminded of several occasions in the Bible. I think about Ananias and Sapphira, who were struck dead instantly at the altar, having tried to deceive the Holy Spirit of God and lie to the Holy Spirit of God. And I just think about the severity of God. And we've seen pictures in the Word of God of the severe power of God. Mark chapter 4, and verse 39 through 41 speaks about Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And guess what happened? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And Jesus said unto them, those disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I'll tell you what manner of man this is. This is the God-man. When I think about some of the terrific events that have taken place just in my lifetime, things such as earthquakes, things such as hurricanes, things such as pestilences, we think of COVID and things like that, it reminds me this, that my Lord and Savior is Almighty God. It reminds me this, that my God possesses all power. And by the way, He is due our reverence. He is due our fear, understanding who He is. Well, here we find that the Lord hurls His wind into the sea, and instantly there's a tempest. Can you imagine it for a moment? Perhaps you've lived long enough to see a storm suddenly arise from a calm sky. This would have been the scene for Jonah. There they are going along, and then all of a sudden, a tempest. This was not just any storm, but the Bible tells us it was a mighty or a great storm. In fact, the word that's used there for tempest comes from a root word that signifies a hurricane. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 19 uses that same word, except it's translated this way, as a whirlwind. If we imagine this storm to be some light wind and some droplets of rain and an occasional thunder, we'd be severely underestimating what is described here in the scriptures. I'm reminded of a storm that's named in the book of Acts, in Acts 27 and verse number 14, that certainly God was sovereign over, is called Euroclodon. we're told that this tempest was so great that the ship was like to be broken. Well, the question I have for you this evening as we begin to close is this. What is to be done in the midst of a situation like this? Maybe we should ask the question this way. Friend, what will you do when you find yourself in opposition to God and His holy word? I wish it were the case that I could say this, that every Christian at Liberty Baptist Church is never going to find themselves in opposition to God in His word. But the truth of the matter is, for you and I, that we're just sinners saved by God's grace. So what are we to do when we find ourselves in opposition to the word of God? Perhaps you're listening here to this video this night, and maybe it is that you've been on run from the Lord for a long time. Friend, can I give you some hope tonight that there is a way back to God? There is a path back to God. It's not too late. You can turn back to the Lord even this night. You can repent of your sin and come to Jesus for forgiveness. I believe that you and I, as we look in this passage, will find some help and instruction in the remaining verses in this chapter. What are we to do when we find ourselves in opposition to God and His word? Or perhaps when we discover that you and I have made some wrong choices and gone the wrong way. Sometimes it is, even as Christians, as we seek the Lord's face and we're trying to make sure that we carefully take the right steps and make the right decisions. Perhaps it is that we find ourselves inadvertently in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. What do we do to get back to God? Can I tell you, first of all, tonight, in just a moment, as we begin to pray here in just a minute, that you can begin tonight by returning back to the Lord, returning back to fellowship with Him. You say, Pastor James, how can I do that? Friend, can I tell you, all you have to do is bow your heart and bow your knee right now. And you pray to the Lord and forsake perhaps the sin that you've committed or are committing. Confess to the Lord that, Lord, I've made these wrong choices. And the Bible promises us, if you're a child of God, that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I tell you, secondly, that, friends, if you've gone the wrong way, the best thing to do is to turn around and to get back to where you started. For those of us who have been walking with the Lord, we need to turn around and go back to the place where we started. Perhaps it's just remembering that you're a child of God. Perhaps it is remembering and going back to that time when you were in fellowship with God. What did you do? You spent time in His word. You spent time in prayer. You spent time coming to the local New Testament church meetings. And perhaps you need to turn around and go back to that place of faithfulness. And friend, perhaps you're listening here this night and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And friend, the truth of the matter is that you're separated from God because of your sin. Do you know this, that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary? Do you know that the reason that He, the Son of God, went to the cross and was crucified and shed His precious blood was to pay for your sin debt so that you could be forever with Him in heaven one day? And friend, I'm telling you that Jesus died for you on the cross, that He was buried, He died, He gave up the ghost, He was buried. And 3 days later, the Bible tells us that He rose again from the grave and He's alive forevermore. You say, why did He do that? Well, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, that's the reason Jesus died for you on the cross. That's the reason He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead so that you could believe on Him and have eternal life and be forever with Him in heaven. You say, Pastor James, how do I do that? Well, if you're listening to me right now, you admit that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus is who He said He is in the Bible, that He lived a perfect sinless life, that He died on the cross, shedding His precious blood for your sins, that He was buried, And that 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, having paid your sin debt. So you believe all that the scriptures say about Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, and that God the Father sent him for you. And then lastly, you confess that to him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse 13 of that chapter, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you can call upon the name of the Lord by praying and crying out to him. First of all, admitting that you're a sinner. Number two, believing that Jesus is your Savior. And number three, confessing that simply to him. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this account of Jonah. And Lord, I pray it is that every person that listens this night would understand this, that it's not an easy path to go into disobedience. It's a downward path. It's a path that will require us to pay a price. It's a path that will put us lockstep with those that are lost in this world. And then lastly, it is a path that leads, no doubt, to a mighty tempest, a mighty tempest. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that it is, that if there is a Christian right now that's listening, that perhaps has gotten away from you, Father, I pray, Lord, as they're praying with me, that they would repent of that and they would seek thy face, Lord, for forgiveness. Father, I also pray this way, that there, if there's a Christian in that way, not only would they repent of their sin and seek forgiveness, but they would return back to where they left off in their path of disobedience. Father, would you just be a help to your people this night? And then, Father, I pray this. Lord, if there's someone listening by this video that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, and heaven's their home, Lord, I pray that this very night that they would, number one, admit they're a sinner. Number two, they'd believe about what you tell us in your word about Jesus the Christ, that he's the Savior of the world, and that he died for them on the cross of Calvary, paying their sin debt by his precious blood, that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again from the grave. 40 days after that, he ascended back into heaven and is seated at the right hand of you, God the Father in heaven right now. Lord, I pray if there's one like that, that they believe, and then number three, they confess their need to be saved. They confess it to you that they're a sinner. They confess their belief, and they believe all that you say. And Lord, number three, that they would confess their need to be saved. Father, I pray that perhaps we'd learn of one that trusted in you this night. And Father, we'll rejoice in that. Lord, I pray, Father, as we deal with the snow for the next several days, Lord, that you'd be a help to us. Would you watch over us? Would you protect us? Father, would you allow our heat to continue to work? Father, I pray there wouldn't be any problems or difficulties for those of us who are snowed in this night. Father, would you bring us back at the next appointed time? Lord, we do ask this. We sure would like to assemble on Wednesday. So, Father, I pray you would work that out for us. Lord, we just love you and thank you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.